Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You are listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, the host of WNYC's New Tech City program. You can check us out at newtechcity.org. I'm sitting in for Brian today and tomorrow. And chances are, if you work in an office building, at some point you've thought, man, is it freezing in here or is it just me? No, it's not just you. 6,000 government workers were surveyed in a recent poll, and 60% of them said yes, they suffer from thermal stress. I have air quotes in my fingers as I say thermal stress at work. That is, they feel either too hot or too cold in their workplace. And studies have shown that productivity drops when office temperatures get colder than 68 degrees. But why is it so difficult to keep our office buildings at a comfortable temperature? Here to explain common office temperature traps and what we can do to fix them is Shaughnessy Farrow. She's urban design and science reporter for Fast Company. Shaughnessy, great to see you.
You too.
Office workers, if you're listening, are you freezing or do you love the cold, misty feeling of a summer day in a conference room? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And Shaughnessy, you write that one of the biggest reasons offices are freezing is that we don't have enough thermostats. Is that the answer, just adding more thermostats?
You know, I don't think it's the only answer, but certainly it becomes a problem. You know, if you are sort of trying to cool down a big room, then if there's only one thermostat, then there can be a lot of pockets of kind of different temperatures, you know, when one person needs a space heater because they're right by the vent, whereas another person is sitting by a sunny window and it's 80 degrees.
I mean, I have seen that where one person in the newsroom has the window open next to them while the AC is on, and I've had the little heater at my feet. I mean, it just seems like a complete energy disaster right happening right there.
Exactly.
And one of the other problems that you point out, and maybe this is even harder to fix, I'm not sure, is the fact that our HVAC system, that's heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, that they're designed for a different era. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, so, you know, as LED lights become more popular, one of the researchers I spoke to had said that that can be a problem because, you know, building engineers, they calculate how much air conditioning to use based on these certain factors, including lights, because that's a lot of the internal heat that comes from our offices.
And LED lights don't give as much heat as old school ones.
And so we can be cooling down a building that's not as hot inside as we thought it was going to be.
And I've heard the claim before, and I'm curious to know if there's any scientific reasoning behind it. I believe it. Is it true that women tend to feel more cold than men? Is it just because, like, the men are wearing these big suits? Or is there, I don't know, I love to mention my thyroid problem when I sub for Brian Lehrer. I blame it on that. What do you think?
Yeah, well, there are various studies that indicate that, yes, women do perceive cold a little bit differently. And it can also be an age thing. You know, various people have sort of different levels of thermal comfort. When we talk about thermal comfort, actually buildings are aiming to have 80% of people be comfortable. And so already you're sort of planning for, you know,
one out of five is screwed, basically,
to be uncomfortable. But certainly, you know, it is a difference if women do perceive cold a little bit more acutely. And we also tend to wear clothing that's more appropriate for the seasons.
If you're outside, that is.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Patty, who is freezing in Staten Island. Hi, Patty. You're on WNYC.
Hi.
What are you wearing, Patty?
I have on a fleece. I have a shawl that I keep over my legs, mm-hmm, and my fingerless gloves.
Patty, it's August. Did anybody tell you that?
Yes, they did.
And what's going on there?
We have no control over it. We're either freezing or we're dying with the heat because they'll turn it off on us. There's no in between.
Now, when you say we, do you mean like all of you agree that this is just too cold? Or are there some people who are like, I don't know, I kind of like it.
No, we're all sitting here freezing. There's five of us in the office and we have heaters on all year.
Which, I mean, it can't be good for your company's electric bill.
That's what I think, but I don't know.
All right, let's go to the expert here. Shaughnessy, everyone's freezing in the office. Surely we are driving up the bills. what do you think that we can say then? Are there any sort of workarounds? If the HVAC system is built for a different era, are there any sort of there's one app that I've heard of called Comfy?
Yeah. So Comfy is an app that sort of allows workers to, you know, interface with the people who are in charge of heating and cooling. And so it allows you to say, please cool my workspace or please warm up my workspace. And it also allows kind of workers to communicate with each other, you know, instead of fighting over one person being really cold and one person being really hot.
But you have to have buy-in then from your boss or your company.
Yeah, so it has to be plugged into the building's heating and cooling system. And so you need to have them be involved as well.
Okay, so we've got Mark in East Rockaway. Mark, what are you up to over there?
Well, what I'm up to happened actually before I retired, quite obviously, from ABC TV in New York. And we were in an office building that had been converted and repurposed 14 times by the time we got there at the end of the 60s and into the 70s. And we were never comfortable in our office. And it wasn't a question of not enough thermostats, just it wasn't set right. And they had put a protective covering over it, kind of a Lucite box, that you could see the thermostat, but you couldn't get to it. So I had the brilliant idea of putting a candle underneath the box, below the thermostat, to make it think it was hotter in the room and go on somewhere. And it worked pretty well for a while until the box started to melt.
Yeah, I mean, other than the, like, massive danger of arson and fire, I think that's a great idea, Mark.
They make a cubicle and a wall and another, and they knock down the wall, and it never worked. We moved to a newer building in 1979, kind of state of the art. But to this day, there's still people having heaters hidden under their desks in the new building.
Mark, thank you so much. So, I mean, that is, you know, the thermostat with the glass around it, and it's, like, so cruel. It's so near yet so far. What are some other sort of innovative solutions that companies are using to encourage more comfortable office temperatures? I know that one of them that you wrote about is operable windows. What's that?
Yeah, so a lot of high-rise buildings in the U.S. don't have windows that you can open, but that's starting to change a little bit because a lot of it is actually kind of psychological. You can't control the heating and cooling, and so you expect it to be comfortable. And what they found is that if you can open a window and sort of control the environment a little bit more on your own terms, you're more likely to be willing to have it be a little bit hotter or a little bit cooler.
Huh. So it's like almost sort of psychological in a way.
Yeah. There's so little stimulus in an office building that you really sort of expect it to kind of cater to you.
That is so true. You feel like you're hermetically sealed into something and therefore you're abiding by different sort of natural instincts. I would love to go to number four, Christopher. Christopher in my hometown of Princeton, New Jersey. Christopher, you like it hot or you like it cold?
I like it cold, and I think a lot of it has to do with where you grew up. I grew up in Maine, and I notice people that come from California or live in Hawaii, they just enjoy it a lot. Between 75 and 80 in room temperature, and I think a lot of it has to do with what you're used to when you were raised.
That's a really good point. But so, Jennifer, between 75 and 80, that seems reasonable to me. When you sort of went to write this piece for Fast Company about temperatures, what was the temperature that you saw most businesses setting the number at? Because I was at the doctor's office with my daughter the other day. They had the temperature set at 60 degrees. She's 4. She was wearing a little sundress, and she was freezing. 60 degrees, like what's going on? What's the sort of the gold standard for what temperature it should be?
You know, it sort of varies based on, you know, how many people are expected to be in the room and what they're expected to be wearing and what they're doing. But, you know, one of the studies that I wrote about in my piece, this Cornell study that looked at productivity, the study's author said that, you know, the perfect temperature is between 74 and 76 degrees, which I would think, you know, we want it more at like 72 is how you sort of imagine the lower 70s is what you imagine you're comfortable at.
Let's go to Susan, who's calling in from Manhattan. Hi, Susan. You're on WNYC.
Hi. Well, it so happens that I'm a facility manager. I'm sitting in my own office wearing fleece with a heater next to me, so I can explain why it's so difficult to get the temperature exactly right in a large office building. Basically, even, you know, on any given floor, you have zones, air handlers, and you don't have the kind of granularity you have in your house. In other words, an air handler covers a large, you know, area of the floor, especially if you've got open plan seating like cubicles. And you don't have thermostats everywhere where you have heat-generating things, copiers, people, coffee pots, whatever. In addition, it's the building automation system that has to respond via sensors, not just thermostats, you know, with thermocouples, but also oxygen sensors, CO2 sensors, airflow sensors, humidity sensors. And in most buildings, you know, we have what's called LEED, the energy efficient regulations, and the windows are sealed for that reason. And so if you try and bring in outside air to, you know, it's humid, and then you can't really dehumidify it without cooling it. So it's very difficult. And like I said, I'm sitting here myself wearing fleece.
God, Susan, aren't you, like, tempted to, like, beat the system? You have the power, Susan. You could make it your ideal temperature.
I could, except my boss across the hall is hot. That's why I'm freezing. Ah. We're all on the same air handler, you know, and it's all one zone. And we do what's called balancing in HVAC systems, which changes the flow. You know, but unless you have a modern system with what's called variable air, you know, velocity, what's called VAV boxes, you can't really, that's like the equivalent of like a dimmer switch. And if you think of a dimmer switch, what that does to lights, that's what it does to airflow. But that requires very expensive upgrades to an HVAC system. And for systems that were built, you know, before, let's say, 2000, you probably don't have those kinds of variable frequency drives where you can vary the speed of the motors, you know, to get the you know, to see the on or off.
Susan, thank you so much for calling in from Manhattan. We're going to have to leave it there. I've been talking to Shaughnessy Farrow. She writes about architecture, urban design, and the sciences, and now air conditioning for Fast Company. Shaughnessy, thanks so much for coming in and for getting these people wearing fleece throughout the region to call in and share why they have cold toes on this August day.
Thanks
thank you so much.